that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, June 11th, 2022. And we welcome you here, and we've got some men online to join us. And Josh, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And maybe Paul will join in and join us in a little bit. He was going to try if he could, if he wasn't moving cows or something, so... And but Remnant, we say good morning to you. We have the phone lines open this morning. It's a live program, at least this morning. We replay it. We replay it on Monday evening, and you just have to listen in then. But it is a live program this morning. And so if you'd like to call, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Well, let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll kind of go from there. And Josh, would you do the honors and open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the countless blessings that you've poured out upon us, Lord, and most of which being that blood that was shed for us, Lord. Thank you for that sacrifice that you made so that we could be cleansed of our sins, Lord, and healed of our afflictions. Lord, we do pray that you'd do that, that you'd wash us in that cleansing blood, Lord, and that you grant us access to all the power that that you've got given to us, Lord, that you've got set up for us to be able to contact. Pray that you'd help us to be able to have that mind of Christ, Lord, to be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. Help us to be equipped for the day of need that that is upon us. Lord, we do lift up those that are sick amongst us, Lord, and that are hurting. Lift them up to you and pray that you comfort them with that Holy Spirit, Lord. Pray for your protection in these dangerous days, Lord, and I pray that you give us what it takes to keep on pushing forward, Lord, and grow in the kingdom. Lord, we do for all these prayers in Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And, yeah, we were talking earlier, Tim mentioning that, boy, the things we're seeing are just prophecies coming true, whether you read about them in Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, or if you read about them in the New Testament, and they're quoting these places. We see that the things that were foretold in the Word are coming true around us. And it really, you know, almost anywhere that you open your Bible and take a look, you can usually see within a chapter or two what's going on today. But if you keep reading, you'll see the salvation that God promises. You know, you can read through Jeremiah 29, the message to the exiles, and it is it's tough. It is. But it's about where we find ourselves today. But if we keep reading, even Jeremiah 30, verse 6 says, "Ask now and see if a male can give birth," and we see all that hogwash and, you know, in our society today. But God says here in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, he says, "I will chasten you justly and will by no means leave you unpunished." And I think that's where we're stepping into. That is where the people that call themselves Christians, but they tend to throw a Judeo in front of that. That is not something that is pleasing to our God, for anything to come before him. And so his word is true. He will chasten and not leave unpunished. But he says he won't wipe us out, and he won't let the enemy completely wipe us out. There at the end of Jeremiah 30, it tells us, "In the latter days you will understand this." And I think we're seeing a little more understanding, a little more, so that's what that means, type of eyes being opened and seeing these things come upon us. Thoughts, guys?
Well, you know, one of the big things that's out there now is this mindset of that somebody owes you something. You know, we've been programmed for so long, folks thinking that the government owes them a living, or you owe me this, or owe me that. That is something that's easy to creep in on you. You got to watch for that. You got to guard for that, because all that God owes us is a rod. I mean, the wages of sin is death. We know that. And it's just through his gift that we have anything more than that for us, through his sacrifice. And no matter how bad it gets, we need to keep focus on the fact this is the day that the Lord has made. And I mean, I'm sitting here drinking a really good cup of coffee right now. Every
yes.
day is a blessing.
Yes.
Every day is a blessing that we have here, and we should treat it as such, and a treasure, and not squander it, and make sure that we're taking those opportunities that we have to do his work, and to give every bit of effort we can into being in God's will, because we're not promised tomorrow, ever. And, you know, it's just that, just got to make sure we got that attitude of thanksgiving. And just truly be appreciative in our hearts.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, and which one of us doesn't want? God says we're his children, we're his sons and daughters. Which one of us doesn't want the best for our sons and daughters and doesn't want the most for them. You know, your hopes are over the moon for your children. You look at them and, you know, and we're but a poor copy of God. So imagine, and I'm not deriding his handiwork. I mean, it's our own. It's through our own imperfections and stuff that we're a poor copy. He says, in a mirror darkly. But I was reading along, and Acts 4 says that, you know, it quotes Psalms 2. And I was like, oh, yeah, we make a quote out of Psalms 2 about God laughing at him, you know, but we talk about that a lot. But Paul, Peter, and John were talking to those people and telling them about Christ, and they basically said, hey, if you're not allowed to teach in his name, you're not allowed to do this, or you're not allowed to talk about the things that he did. They said, you judge, but we're unable to stop, you know. And then they quote Psalms 2. So, you know, I flipped back there to Psalms 2 and just read. We quote we quote Psalms 2, 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision a lot of times, you know. And it's true. I mean, that's not. You know, 1, 2, and 3 say, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And verse 5 says, then he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And I was like, well, he's vexing them. You know, there's different levels in the Bible zoo of predators, and we have some out there who are, they're just kind of drones that just run along there, and they take advantage. You know, if somebody's handing out free money, they're lined up. If there's any way to get out of the day's work, why, they're at the front of the line. You know, you know, there's people out there who spend more, who work harder at avoiding work than just getting it done. And there's people out there who'll spend a dollar to save a dime. I mean, those are some of those kind of folks. And then there's the other predators that are the big ones who set themselves up as rulers and take counsel together against the Lord. And that's what they want to do, is they want to destroy our unity, our blessings in Christ. They would take your very life away from you and destroy you if they could. And and God says, I'm going to speak to them in wrath and vex them. You know, and I think there's some serious vexing going on right now.
Yeah, so, I think so. And if it, you know, yeah, oh, that the so, people would see it, that yes, God is a loving God, and you know, he loved the world so much he sent his only begotten son. You know, absolutely. But that's not all there is to God. That's not all there is to Jesus Christ. You read through these Old Testament that the New Testament quotes. If the people would just, you know, at least do that as a start and see, you know, with the understanding that God has not changed. He hasn't. He right. has just made a way for his wrath to be appeased. You know, in so many times we read through this, you know, to save yourselves. Come out of her, my people, right? Jeremiah 51, flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment. There's a punishment coming. You know, there is. Christ even alluded to it and spoke of it, you know, in his parable of, you know, those that won't have me rule and reign over them, says the king, just bring them here and slay them at my feet. And that just seems to get glossed over. It does. And, you know, we still have that job of the Great Commission, of going and preaching and teaching and baptizing, and showing, you know, to this lawless world, the grace and power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we still have that, you know, while it's still day, that is what we have to be doing. I think that's what you were alluding to, Tim. And, and like you said, Josh, well, you know, we're so blessed, you know, when we see that. Yes, you know, I'm paying the same outrageous price for fuel that everybody else is. But I have the faith that some way, somehow, God's going to provide. You know, my fuel bill has over doubled. You know, food the same way, just like everybody else. You know, this reckoning has to happen. It does. It has to happen, and when we can be different, when we can show the world that we are different, that there's a better way, a different way, then I think that goes a long way to opening people up to the gospel.
Yeah, what saves us? Our faith. You know, the Bible talks about that, and that's one of those things in the equation that the playing field's never level. Nothing in life is fair, but faith is one of those great overcoming devices that God has given us. And, you know, how often in each one of our lives have we undertaken or attempted a task or a project or something, and when you look back, you're like, wow, that went really well. I mean, by rights, this guy tried the same thing and fell on his face. You know, what was the difference? The difference was is I prayed about it every morning, and I had faith that God would help me accomplish it, you know, and the outcome was different. So it wasn't random chance. It wasn't it wasn't even necessarily skill, you know. It was the grace of God and your faith in that grace and in that kindness and mercy that brought about a different outcome.
Amen.
And, you know, we're such short-sighted creatures that sometimes we factor God in and then we factor him out at the end, you know. It's like, you know. The first thing you do is pray, oh, God, help me get this done. But the first thing you do when it's done is you bow your head and say, oh, God, thank you for helping me. Or do you go, man, I'm glad I got that done. Or I'm glad I got that accomplished. It's like wrong train of thought, wrong frame of mind, you know.
Yeah. Amen.
If the first person you asked for help on that thing wasn't the first person you thanked when it was done, you've got your order messed up, you know.
Amen.
So...
and that order is sure messed up. And it's sure messed up in this nation right now. That's for sure. That order.
I'm here, Richard.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. You know, I was thinking, you know, if you love your children or you love your dog, the first thing you teach them is to mind, because you cannot protect a child or a dog that will not mind, or a wife. And God has rules. And this is the thing, there's cause and effect. You read the Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, and it's all there. People don't have a clue what sin is. I mean, you go ask them what sin is, and they just get a blank look on their face. Well, anything God don't like, you know, that's about the best they can come up with. But here in Jeremiah 23, I'll start with 21. You can read on both sides of it. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood on my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned from their evil ways and from the evil of their doings. So, I mean, you know, there's rules. You have to tell God is love, but he has rules. If you're going to live in his house, you live by his rules, you know, and then his rules have been taken out of the church. The law is, the breaking of the law is sin. Well, everybody, well, sinners it is, but if you don't know what sin is until you read it, and then the grace will mean more to you than ever once you know what sin really is. And people are stupid, just plain stupid. And judgment will start first in the house of the Lord, and the reason it starts there because that's where it's wrong. I mean, these prophets and these pulpits, you kind of got to pity them, but I don't know. They are making big money, but their reward is that it, because it's going to be an ugly end.
Very true. Very true.
So, God is love. He is. But, you know, you can't let anybody walk over him either, because that ain't never going to happen.
No. No. It's his way. That's no highway option. Go ahead, Josh.
One thing, I normally try to pray about what we talk about on here on Saturday morning, and this morning I was doing that, and what you're saying leads right into it, Mr. Paul. You know, when you're raising children, that is a process, you know, and as they are smaller children, they can't receive as much direction, but as they get older, you can give more and more direction, and they're able to bear it, and they're able to process it and be able to bear fruit from it. And so that is a process that starts normally with little and continues on until, I guess, the parents die, or maybe doesn't even stop then if you do a good job. But I was thinking about, you know, what a process our walk should be and how we should continue to grow. And a parallel: you don't need to wait until you run out of water to put in a well. You know, you don't need to wait until the house is on fire to get a fire extinguisher. You know, we keep telling ourselves we've got all this time, and, oh, I'll get right with God, you know, later on before it gets bad, but I'm going to keep doing my own thing now. You know, I'll bow to God's will, but not right now, because I really need to get this new snowmobile. You know, even though it is extra debt for me, and I know that the borrower slave to the lender, we need to be working. We need to be preparing every day, and the most important way that we need to be preparing is in our obedience with God and our walk with God. We need to be praying and believing, and then and looking. You know, we need to be in the Word. We need to be doing his work in the field, and just encouraging folks, don't put it off. I mean, you see, you know, Richard talks about, he stays up on the news pretty good, and just all the different things that are going on around us. Is that something to panic or fret or fear? No, it's not. But also, too, you should recognize that, you know, in the past, I don't know what the number is up to now, but in the past year, 20-something food production facilities have mysteriously burned, you know, here in the country. Well, that's not a coincidence. That's not by chance. That's us heading in a direction, you know, and we would be wise to do our best to prepare for that. Once again, I believe that is just a correction, because I don't think it's a good thing that we depend on somebody else to be able to feed our family, you know, physically. So it definitely is a good thing for us to help push us in that direction, to help grow us, and to, hey, maybe I need to be doing something myself instead of just depending on somebody else. But just want to, I'm going to say, urge everyone to look at the different places in your lives where you've been putting something off, and you're waiting until this or waiting until that to get right with God, to start trying to get out of debt, to put up some food, you know, to arm yourself. Whatever your thing is that you're waiting on and thinking that tomorrow's going to be a better day to start getting your life straight, that's not a good plan. And I think that the time is speeding up. And at some point in time, we're not going to have the time to prepare. We don't want to be in the spot of that virgin without the oil and the lamp, because that's not a good spot to be. especially whenever God has got everything we could possibly need right there for us. And all we got to do is be obedient, take that position of that child that you're talking about. Be obedient, listen to him, love him, and do what he says, and he'll take care of us. When we got his whole living word in front of us as a direction book of how to do that.
Amen. I mean, we certainly see that throughout the repeated in that gospel story throughout.
Well, we talk about that a lot of times. We talk to someone who's like, well, I need to do something like that, or I need to have that, or I need to, you know, and I guess I'm talking about lifestyle situations. And it's like they act like it's some plan that they can kick into gear when the need arises. And although that occasionally is the case, I think that maybe a better viewpoint or a better lifestyle choice is to live that way on a daily basis so that it becomes, you know, a habit. So it becomes a lifestyle choice. I mean, it's like those things, and, you know, as you grow up or as you get older, and those things are just normal to you. I mean, it's no longer it's so inconvenient, or so why do I, you know, I can't go down to the grocery store and just buy a steak, or I can't go out to the restaurant and just eat my lunch. I have to cook it, or you know, put something together. I mean, we run into, and I was just talking about meals, but it also continues on to all that. A lot of us, and I use the word us lightly, but, or, you know, loosely, but, the only time that they want anything to do with God or with his ways is when they hit a jam. You know, when you have a log jam, like, let's jump into the God mode. We'll pray about it, and, you know, and this and that. And, you know, do you thank him daily? Do you wonder what he thinks about what you're doing? I'm not saying that we always all do the right thing every day according to God, but do you even wonder if what you're doing is right, you know, or if it would be pleasing and honoring to him, or if that's the way he wants things done? I mean, if you don't spend some time dwelling on it, you should make that a habit in your life, you know. Maybe this isn't right. Maybe this isn't the way God would want that done. Maybe I should do some research on it, and then actually motivate yourself to do it and implement a change that becomes a part of your life and a habit. Those things are, you know, God talks about people whose mouth moves and says, Lord, Lord, but he said, your hearts were far from me. And, you know, eventually he says, depart from me. I never knew you. You know, I don't know who you were. Mouth service is it's a great thing, but it means nothing compared to up against life service, you know. So we have a much higher calling yet.
Yeah, the Bible talks about that practicing. You know, what do you practice? What do you practice? Do you practice just like, you know, like you mentioned, just, you know, if I want a steak, I go get a steak. If I want to go to the grocery store, I go to the grocery store. And I think that in a way, the Bible talking about, you know, that we are to practice righteousness, that fits into that. Not that we do these things to be saved, to get righteous, but because of the righteousness of Christ, because what he's done for us, that, you know, we do those things. We practice, we have, excuse my voice. We have, or at least do our best to have eyes to see those that are in need, those that are in need of prayer, or a bottle of water on the side of the road, or whatever it may be. That we practice those things. We practice teaching our children a good work ethic, and right from wrong, and the word, and we look for opportunities to teach and to train. We practice those things. You know, Paul writes about, you know, the you know, running the race, not just to be a participant, but we run the race to win. You know, to win, and not just for us to win, but, you know, because we want our children to win. We want them to, you know, we want to raise them up in the way they should go, so when they're older, they won't turn from it. We want them to be successful biblically, you know, in seeking first the kingdom and things like that. And I think it's those, it is those little things that we should be practicing, that we should be, they should be a practice in our life, prayer, you know, the Wednesday night prayer meeting, but also, you know, when you see others that are in need of prayer, and offering prayer for them, and, you know, like was mentioned, you know, when certainly we go in prayer when we do hit a jam, but it shouldn't only be then. You can't wait and know that you've got a marathon to run in 2 weeks and just wait till that day and run it. You just can't do that. That does not work. It doesn't work. You better be practicing. You better be preparing and practicing, and it is that way with the, you know, with our life as well. We don't know when our days end here, and we don't know what tomorrow brings. But we can practice today with what today brings, with what God brings upon us today, with the opportunities that He puts before us. We can, you know, do our best to choose what is right and good and pure, and concentrate on those things, and you know, have our eyes opened. You know, if you pray, you know, if you pray for an opportunity, and I'll give this example. It happened to me here just a few weeks ago. You know, we're told to love God, love our neighbor, and so, you know, if you pray to be a good neighbor, God will give you opportunities to be a good neighbor. A couple weeks ago, you know, we took the weekend off, went out to my son George's. He wanted to get baptized. He wanted his family to come out, and so we were doing all that. And the evening before, you know, it's always hectic when you plan a trip, trying to get everything done. And the evening before, we've got a new neighbor from California, okay, and they called. They had turned their well off to fix a water leak, and now the well wouldn't come back on, and they didn't have water. And it's the evening before I've got this trip, and it's getting close to dark, and I've got 19 things still to do. But I thought, you know, okay, it's no fun not having water. So I stopped by, and it was just a pressure switch, you know, the pressure switch on the pump. You had to turn it off, and then you had to turn it on like to a hold, almost like a charge position for 5 seconds, and then on, and then it worked. And so we were able to figure that out. They got water, and life is good. But I realized when I left there, in my hectic afternoon, evening, you know, before I'm going on a trip and just trying to run, that that just that little thing, God had given me an opportunity to have my prayers answered. Because I pray to be a good neighbor. I want to be a good neighbor. I pray for our neighbors. You know, I want to be a good neighbor. And I pray for that. And He gave me that opportunity. Now, I'm not boasting by any means. Because it's just the, you know, just a tiny little thing. But I just use that as an example. Because God will do that if we will, you know, try to, like His word says, step out of her, come out of her, my people. Come out of that this race of Babylon, this running, going. I think we sometimes confuse that with, that we're being industrious and we're you know, we're doing all these things. But if we're doing all those things and neglecting our call, neglecting being a good neighbor, neglecting having the eyes to see those in need, then it's all for naught. So I hope that makes sense.
A lot of times things like that happen right when you don't want it to happen either, you know. It's kind of a test.
I think it is. I think it is.
And we prioritize, right?
Time and time again. Absolutely. And you know, as our children get older, you know, we do our best to share that with them, to let them see that, hey, listen, you know, this is you're older, you're driving, you've got you know more you can do, more to do, you know, moving from school to work, and you know, we sure try to teach and train to keep the priorities right as much as possible, and that's seek first the kingdom. You know, that I think that summarizes it. Seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will be added unto you. You know, you'll get all this other stuff done. You know, do what I need done first, I think, is what our God tells us. And that's the works that we are to be doing. Again, not to gain righteousness, not to gain salvation, but because we have salvation, because we're righteous in Christ. You know, we are to be his hands and his feet, and we are to be that doer, the doers of the word, in sharing this with others. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. You know, Josh, you mentioned those food processing plants that have just mysteriously disappeared, have blown up, had planes crash into them, burned down overnight, you name it. I talked a little bit about that on Thursday night because the media, even Glenn Beck, oh, there's nothing to that. That's just a conspiracy theory. The media wholeheartedly is saying there's nothing to it. And so as good Christian soldiers, you know, part of our lesson over the last 30 years has been that when the media says left, you better look right. Because when you take the exact opposite of what the media tells you, you know, our pastors have taught us over the years that more than likely you'll be closer to the truth. You know, just this one, May 25th, Forsman Farms, which sells over 3 million eggs per day. That's a lot of eggs. 3 million eggs a day. Lost thousands of birds in a blaze over the weekend, and that was back from May 25th, just a couple weeks ago. And, you know, several volunteer fire departments responded to the fire about 10 p.m. And the lists, going back to August of 2019, I've seen this run, you know, around, and it doesn't take, it took me about 15 minutes to come up with about 40 of these things. And people just say, oh, it's no big deal. You know, fires happen. You know, food is fuel, and things happen, and, you know, over and over and over again. And most of the people say, oh, okay, but how's Johnny Depp doing? What's the latest? What's the latest with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard? And oh, what are they going to come up with? And oh, McConaughey, you know, he's talking about the shooting. I better tune into that and see what he has to say about it. And the priorities for the people are just, it's the bread and circus again, the bread and the lions. And the people just, their eyes are smeared. Why do they not see these things? And I know more and more are. More are on social media. If you look alternative media, you know, you'll see some things that get brought up. I, you know, I don't know, other than I think it was mentioned earlier, it's a change, a reset. Things are happening. I can't explain them. I can't tell you, yeah, the FBI is doing this, or the CIA, see, has a secret left-wing op call, you know, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't know the physical reasoning that these things are happening, but I know they're happening.
Well, you know, to that point, you can quote the scripture, you know, consider the birds, and they're not worried about where their next meal's coming from. And you can talk about having a barrel of oil that doesn't run empty until you filled every cistern that you can find to put the oil in. Those are examples out of the Bible, but you got to look at the context and the situations, and God is going to provide for us. And that ties in with that 11th hour message, you know, for he will provide, but also too, he expects those of us that are the old crunchy veterans to have done what it is that he has put before us to do, what he's instructed us to do, what he's been teaching us to do. And so for us, I parallel it more with, you know, putting the grain in the storehouse as Joseph did, because you know a famine's coming, and it was his responsibility to provide for everyone. And that's more where we're at, because we've had that opportunity to prepare, and we've been enjoying the fruits of a Christian bounty for years, and we see those things that are coming, and it would be good to be able to share with others that don't have, you know. So I just got to be Holy Spirit led for sure, and be careful, but we don't need to shirk that responsibility that we have as Christians. And you know, I pray to be part of that Gideon elite. I want to be one of the ones that makes a difference, that helps to bring others around. I don't want to just be the one that's waiting for a handout and a hand up from somebody else to bring me closer to God. And I'm not knocking that, because once again, that, you know, that the last is going to be going to have the same lot as the one that was the first, but if I've got a choice, I want to be one of those ones that spends his life blessed working in the kingdom, and hopefully see my children go down that same path, because regardless of what it looks like out in the world, this is a better path. Yes. For us.
Yes.
Because it is where we're blessed of living inside of his constraints. You know, Mr. Paul said he's got restrictions there that we should be living in, but it's for our own good. And we should never lose sight of that.
Well, and a lot of times we you know, attempt to tell other people, and I do this, I think and I pray about it, and I'm like, well, I don't consider myself an evangelicist. I mean, I just don't, an evangelist. Thank you. Sorry. but still, it's in my job description. So there are some jobs that some people are equipped better to do than others. And I thought about the fact that, you know, well, Lord, if I'm very poor at this job, or, and I consider myself not always equipped like I'd like to be, how many of them am I losing because of that? And, you know, there came a point in my life when I began to understand that it's not about me. I don't lose them. I present it. It stands on its own. God does the calling and the preparation work, and that's between, I'm out. That's between him and them, you know. And I'm reminded of Matthew 15, when Christ was talking to some of the scribes and Pharisees, you know, and he was making fun of them. And he quoted Isaiah and said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart's far away from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. And then later the disciples came to him. He said, well, hear and understand. you know, was what he told them. The disciples came to him later, and they said, Lord, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you say that? And he said, basically said, leave them alone. They're blind guides of blind people. And if a person who is blind guides another who is blind, both will fall in a pit. And it's like, you know, God opens eyes and God closes eyes. And if they're offended, well, maybe the offense will motivate them to the higher calling. Or maybe in the course of trying to disprove anything that you've presented to them, they'll come to the knowledge of truth and the understanding of God's ways. I mean, there's positive influences and there's negative influences. You know, when you tell your child not to do something, or when you reward them for being helpful and doing a good job, that's a positive reinforcement. When they directly disobey you and they end up with punishment as a result of it, that's negative reinforcement. And both are successful. And, you know, God knows this. He knows that person's heart. He knows that person's mind. And then there's some of them that are just going to fall in a pit, you know. I mean, it's like no matter what goes on, you're not going to. That they weren't called, they weren't chosen. God knows it. And it's like you said, leave them alone. Forget about them. So there, you know, that's another one of those things that we have to, you know, don't waste time beating a dead horse, was what my granddad used to say all the time. And sometimes it's just that way. And I guess you need to, it takes a little bit of understanding there to garner that information or to grasp that, you know.
That's been a hard lesson for me in life, because you don't want to leave, you don't want to feel like you're leaving anybody behind. But, you know, with prayer and pray for God to show you, you know, for sure. But lead and us to follow. But you're exactly right. We got the example. Sometimes you got to dust off your feet and move on. And, If it's meant and you did your job and planted that seed, well, then it'll come up whenever the time is right. But there's a lot of them out there that are just destroyers, and they're not interested in being on our team.
As I see it, my only obligation is to bear witness. I am not responsible for the outcome. And you sow seeds and stuff like that, and if somebody grasps it, you'd be there and ready for them. But unless you're seeking and want to know, there's not much sense talking much longer. It's really, you know, once you give them a biblical truth or something, usually this conversation is completely silent. So, yeah, you're right. You God tells us to dust our feet and go, you know. And I'm just thoroughly convinced, until people want to know, you're wasting your breath for the most part. But you live a good life. Look so you don't have to look in your rearview mirror, and do what you can. And people are always watching. You know, they're always watching. So your actions speak louder than words.
Yeah. So many times that is how we plant those seeds. You know, we're not out there like Johnny Appleseed, you know, with a bag full of seeds and a little hoe and digging a hole in the ground and putting a seed in. No, it is how we live, how we react to, and how other people see us. You've said that many times, Paul, that, you know, you're being watched as a Christian, whether you've proclaimed it or not. But the people that you deal with, they, you know, they recognize if you're cursing all the time or if you're not. And they recognize if you're, you know, complaining all the time or you're not. If you've made mention, if you're considered by, and I'm thinking, you know, the people that see at the grocery store or the gas station or acquaintances at work or whatever the case may be at school. I know you know, that people draw those conclusions as school as well. And like Paul says, some people are asking. Some people are asking, hey, what do you think's going on? You know, what do you think about these rising fuel prices? What do you think about the war in the Ukraine? What do you think about this and that? And we certainly need to be, not that we need to be a Bible scholar, but Josh, I think you put it. We have been abundantly blessed for many years as Christians. We got our good cup of coffee here. You know, ain't no Folgers in front of me this morning, I can tell you. You know, but a good cup of coffee, like you said, Josh. And we have been given so much, had our eyes open to the truth of the Word and who we are. And that is our duty, our responsibility to be able to answer those questions, certainly with love, certainly with patience. You know, but and I think that's how God works. He will use us. You know, Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Well, we have all been in that position, and knocked and sought. And you know what? That's come true for us. But there's so many out there that are just getting to that point, that are just thinking about asking. And, you know, that's what we're here for, is to be able to work through the Word and through God to help them, just like however many years ago somebody was there to help us.
And exactly what you're saying. And I've always said, you've only got one name, and that it matters so much. People are watching. They're watching everything you're doing. And if you got a decision to where it's going to cost you money, or it's going to cost you your name, your reputation, let the money go. If it's going to cost you your time, or it's going to cost you your reputation,
yes,
follow through your word and do what needs to be done and keep your name. You've only got one name. You've only got one witness. And it takes a lifetime to grow it and 5 seconds to destroy it. So that's just so important for us to remember that people are watching. We're to be the example.
That's right.
And everything we do, make the right decision and make sure that we're living a life where we don't have to go around telling everybody we're Christians, that they can look at us and know. That is so valuable. I don't know that you can replace it with any amount of words. People being able to see that you're different, that you're not lazy, that you're not backbiting, as you said, that you got a vocabulary that consists of more than four-letter words. You know, there are a lot of different things that we should be doing every day to be different.
Well, you stop and think about it. How is gold purified? It's purified with fire, and the dross is taken away. And then we're in the fire right now. We're being purified. Everything's falling apart around us. And it's a war. They're burning down our food supply. And it's all internal. You know, America's got cancer, and it's internal. It ain't some boogeyman over in Russia, you know, the Cold War that went on years ago when I was a kid and stuff. It's right internal, and they're destroying us. Look at all the corruption around us. Biden and Hillary Clinton and all the whole bunch of them, they've got the goods on all of them. Who's enforcing it? Nobody. Because they're all taken in by the system. You know, they don't want to make waves because they're guilty, you know, and they're part of it. And the policemen have forever protect the evil people over the individual citizen. There's a guy running for governor, and they just arrested him on TV and everything. I met him one time, and he's right on, but he's running for governor. But they came and arrested him and put it on TV. He's got, like, I don't know, 7-8 kids, you know, and just a down-to-earth guy, and he's right on. But they made a big scene out of it. Well, I got one of the signs in my yard, and I'm not very political. I'd never do it, but this guy, I would He's just so basic, he needs to be shaved. But anyway, they arrested him, put on TV in a neighbor's wall. And he just arrested him. I said, well, they killed Jesus Christ, so I guess you can expect something to go on. But they said he was down in Washington on November or January 6th or whenever it happened, you know. And, yeah, he was there, but it wasn't like he said it was. So, but anyway, they've just made a scene out of just slamming him. And he's a person that you would put in there that would be a statesman instead of a politician. So, but it's a war, and it's right around us. It's everywhere.
Yes.
And don't accept the gossip from nobody unless you know it's your truth. So,
amen.
You know, because everybody talks about everything, and you know, but yeah, they slam that guy. And this guy, he's a down to earth guy, and oh, he's a bad guy. See, he kind of bought into it. I said, oh, he ain't no bad guy. But he's seen my sign right by my strawberry patch. So, anyhow. Yeah, and I would endorse him if he's on the right track. Is he totally right? No, nobody is, but he is a God-fearing man. So,
amen.
We're at war,
and I think we're seeing more and more of that, Paul. We are, because the people are praying. You know, there in Timothy it tells us pray for all men, but especially those in authority. Pray for our leaders. We are to do that. And what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? It says pray for your leader so you can lead a quiet and tranquil life. Ha, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I could use some quiet. I could use a little tranquility. And the word says pray for your leader.
Literally scripture for America, then.
That you can do that, yeah.
Literally scripture for America.
No, I stand on the word, and I'm going to stand here as long as I can. But you know,
One of the kindest people I ever met that people would probably disagree with me is Pastor Peters. He was the kindest. He had balls enough to say it, and he paid a lot of big price to do it. So, yeah. But he was a very, very kind man because he was willing to say the truth. But most people would not. Most people don't know him, what he was. I know him fairly well. So.
Yeah, according to the world standards, but absolutely. But well, guys, we're out of time. I want to thank you all for joining us. Thanks so much. I know it's an encouragement to the remnant. I get texts and emails, and so I want to share that with you guys, because that with you men, because it's encouraging to the remnant to be able to tune in, and so many out there just don't have that local fellowship. And remnant, we'll ask you to join us for church in the morning. It's going to be all audio. Jason's traveling, and so we're going to do audio. We will have the stream out on the audio in live. I'll have something going here from the church or from the ranch as opposed to from the church. And so, but we do ask you to join us 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll be here praising the Lord. So, talk to you then.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high, don't try to